And Holy Father, as we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you. Thank you for moving through your people. Thank you for what you did last night. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. And thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you. We ask for your forgiveness of every area where we've offended you. Please wash us with the blood of the Lamb and fill us with your Spirit that we may be one with you. That the heart, mind, the will, and the desires and image, likeness, and character of Christ will be manifested in us and through us. That the world will see you in us and no longer see us, but see you. We thank you. And we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and take us to the throne room of our Father today. To open eyes and ears and hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the anointing of your presence and the glory of your love and your power break every yoke of bondage. Heal everyone here today. Because you're on the move and your hand is not too short. Yeah. Restore to us our first love. Bring us to that place where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. And move our grubby little hands out of everything. That our only hands will be surrendered to you from this day forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How's everybody today?
Blessed
and highly flavored. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woohoo. Yeah. Oh, man. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Would you grab your swords? And turn to Malachi 3, please. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 1, please. Would you read it with me? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So the messenger is the one who is carrying the word of the Lord. He is bringing a message by his Spirit. God is sending a message to his people by his Spirit through a man he has chosen. But who can endure the day of his coming? In other words, he is bringing a message and preparing a way. But he's also doing something. He's warning, isn't he? But who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like laundry or soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. And this represents priests. And one of the first offices that you and I are called to be is a priest. And purge them as gold and silver. In other words, make them transparent. That they may offer to the Lord the offering in righteousness. So that there's nothing offered to the Lord of selfishness, nothing offered unblemished. Everything is washed by the blood. What you are offering to the Lord is righteousness, not your good works or your good deeds. You are offering the righteousness that he has imparted in you. It says, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old. How many of y'all know that when he speaks of Jerusalem and Israel or Judah, he's speaking about us also? As in the days of old and as in the former years, I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, idolaters, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earning, and widows and orphans, against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Hello? He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's amazing how many people want to change God's word. The only reason why they want to change God's word is because they never read it. So they only do hearsay. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. For yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now, He says something very powerful. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. How many of y'all need some windows open? Hello? How about some doors too? How about roofs taken off? Ceilings gone. And he says, and I will pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I love those kind of receptions. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. In other words, the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this is very powerful. Because one of the things that happens is, you know, in reading the Word of God, and we've shared this before, that the Word of God is three-dimensional. It speaks of past, present, and future. Because God is not bound by space or time. But we live in a realm that's been pulled out of eternity, where God said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's talking about this universe. And in this universe, it is established by space and time. But we know that eventually this universe is going to go and we'll set off into eternity with Him. But in this, when the word is being read, we've got to know whether now he was speaking to the people in a present tense. In other words, he was speaking to them in the present tense. So God is also speaking to us in the present tense with this scripture. But what he's saying, he says, the word of the Lord is coming through his messengers. Somebody is speaking it by his spirit through a man to his people. There's two things he wants to do. He wants to establish us and he wants to prosper us. He wants to establish us. Why? So you're not moved. And he wants to prosper us so that we can give or be used to help others. Now, so many times when people are receiving the word, if they are receiving the word, if they're hearing or whatever. In other words, when the word comes right now, understand this. The word of God is speaking to us today, not this man. The word of God is speaking to us today because it's the word of now. It's the word right now. And that's one of the things that we always want to look for, the word now. What's God speaking to us right now? You know, many people are still chasing their prophecies. Well, the Lord prophesied over my life 25 years ago. Forget it. Put it on the shelf. If it's of God, it will come to pass. Quit chasing prophecies and get the word now. Why? So he can establish you. The word establishes you now when he speaks. Has everybody got it? All prophecies will come to pass if it's God's will. Listen, people have prophesied over my life. I said, great, thank you. Some of them I broke off because I knew it wasn't my dad. It's just a soulish, emotional prophecy, and it wasn't for my dad. But I put my prophecies on the shelf because I give it to him. Okay, Lord, if this is you, hallelujah. If this is you, I receive it, and I know. Because, see, I'm not concerned about future. Sometimes we need to have a word now. I don't want, you're going through stuff. You don't need to have something what's coming down 10 years ago to help you. You need something right now. Because he is the God of now. He's not changed. And he's telling us in this arena right now where we are standing in this time and space, in this realm, even though we are eternal lights, amen, we're no longer humanites, praise God, because we have eternal life. So even though we're in this realm, we walk in two realms. We walk in the eternal realm and the temporary realm. But God is speaking us from the eternal realm into the temporary realm and keeping us, because there must be contact all the time in the eternal realm to survive in this realm. So that we walk in the Spirit, so we live in the Spirit, so we no longer live for our life, but we live for the life of Christ. So two things he wants to establish with us. And that is with the word now. The God of now, the word of now. He wants to establish us so we don't move. And he wants to prosper us so we can meet the needs. of his kingdom and his people. But so many times, people, they hear the word, and there's two things that they're going to either do. They're either going to tolerate it or celebrate it. Hello. They're going to tolerate it or they're going to celebrate it. In other words, they're going to receive and believe and celebrate it and take it, or they're going to tolerate it and miss it. When God tells you to do something now, you do it. But you better confirm it's God. Because God never interrupts himself either, does he? Is everybody okay? So, two things he's trying to get to us so that we are established and prosper. But two things that happen is an individual either tolerate it or celebrate it. And that's what he's asking you today. Will you tolerate the word today or will you celebrate the word today? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, King Jehoshaphat was in trouble. He was a king of Judah, and all the armies around him from the north, south, east, and west were getting ready to attack him. And he said, "Whoop, I'm in trouble, Lord. There's no way that we have enough military to defeat these armies that are coming against us." So what they did is they began to seek the Lord. They denied themselves in fast, and they got together and prayed. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon a gentleman in verse 14. Would you read it with me, please? "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and the son of Manasseh, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly." In other words, God was speaking through an individual in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you Judah." What did he say? Listen. In other words, receive and believe. "You inhabitants of Jerusalem and all you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." So many times God is saying, "Will you give me this battle? Will you give me this battle?" But Lord, that's the butt ministry. But we're the head, not the tail, right? Now, there are battles that God directs you to battle, and there are battles that he says, "That's mine." Battles are directed for training. Hallelujah. And he said, "Don't be afraid nor dismayed because of this multitude. Go out. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Zid, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves." In other words, establish yourself so that you are not moved by what you hear, by what you see, and by what you feel. Position yourself. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And do not" what? Fear. See, the enemy loves to grip people with fear. Fear. You know, many people fear the presence of God. And it's because they never tasted the presence of God. You know, many people fear water. Many people fear heights. All kinds of fears. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. That's how he controls people, by fear. But I'm telling you, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. "Do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Now you got to understand something. There was no way that they could defeat these armies. God was telling them, "Go out. I'm with you." I'd like to try and tell our commanders this today. Go out. God is with you. You know, there's powerful testimonies of soldiers that are out there praying and so forth, and they come back with powerful testimonies. You know, I remember I was watching this one testimony on TV where during the war in Israel, these guys, they were sent to go do an attack. And when they got completed, they couldn't find their way out. They got lost and they found themselves on a minefield. And when they prayed, this huge wind came and blew dust all over the place. And it was a full moon. and the moon exposed all the mines in the field. And the wind blew all the dust off, and these guys were able to walk right through and all the way back because the military was coming against them, and they had to get out of there quickly. And because they prayed, the Lord blew all the dirt off of the mines, and they were able to see the reflection of the moon on the minefields. Now I'm telling you, God is the God that nothing is impossible to those who believe. Now, when Jehoshaphat heard this, there's something he did which is powerful. Jehoshaphat, in verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants in the Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So they said, we accept it, we receive it, and we believe it. And they began to worship the Lord. They did not run to the phone. They ran to the throne. Hello. They didn't send up smoke signals to try to get anybody for help. They sent up prayer. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now this is powerful, and you got to grab this. Believe in the Lord your God. In other words, get established in him, and you will be established. And you shall be what? Established. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall what? Now, in this word of prophets, he's speaking the word of now. Believe in the word right now. It is a spirit of prophecy. Believe in the word right now, and you will prosper. In other words, receive it and believe it. Is everybody okay? So what does he want to do? He wants to establish us, and he wants to prosper us. In other words, Judah needed help to fight against the armies. The word came, they worshiped, they celebrated, they received it, they believed it. They were established in the Lord. They received and followed instruction so that they could prosper. And you know, and it goes on. And we might as well read the rest of this because this is powerful. Is everybody okay? And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. They went out before who? The army. So while you're praising and worshiping the Lord, something is happening. Who doesn't want you to praise and worship the Lord? You know, most people are afraid because of the spirit of fear that has bound them. And that's what religion does. It binds individuals. The word religion means bondage. It does not mean freedom. Jesus didn't come to establish religion. He came to establish a kingdom. And so the army went out before the military saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, guess what? Look what it says. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now you got to understand something. They hadn't reached the place yet, man. They were just praising and worshiping God. He dispatched his angels. He brought confusion in the enemy camp, and they ended up killing each other. I love my dad. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Now, here it is. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they what? They looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one escaped. Nobody. That's all they did was praise and worship the Lord. Come on, you want to tell the commanders today in the army, hold on, we're sending a praise and worship team out ahead. See, we send jet fighters. That's like the praise and worship team. Now, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they had found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off from themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Wow. Did he prosper them? Yeah. But there was something that had to be established here. They had to receive it and believe it. They had to act on the word that was given to them. I can't tell you how many people come in for counsel, and they'll sit there and go, yeah, yeah. And then they'll leave, and they won't do anything. They'll expect God to do it. just because they received the counsel, they, oh, God's got it. But they didn't really receive the counsel, because receiving the counsel means you act on it. You act on it. If you act on it, it means you receive it and you believe it. Then God moves. That's called faith. Faith is not dead. It's not blind either. So there's two things he wants to do. He wants to establish us, right, and prosper us. You know, it's amazing because he gave instruction for them, and he told them that he was making a way of escape for them. And because they acted on what he told them to do, they did not tolerate the word. They celebrated the word. How? By worshiping the Lord. They were, yeah, let's praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, some people think you're crazy. You know, do you ever get around someone that says, man, you know what? Aren't you ever miserable? No. I used to be miserable. Because I wasn't getting dope. I was miserable. Because I wasn't getting what I wanted. But when I finally come to the end of myself and got delivered, now, my worst days are joyful. Hello. So things don't seem to go right for you one day. Hallelujah. Why? Who's got it? You or God? You know, sometimes God just steps back for a minute and goes, let me see what they're going to do. Uh-huh. You going to trust in your flesh? You going to go to the phone? Or you going to come to the throne? Never go to the phone without going to the throne first. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 15. So when we do our praise and worship and anointing services, we're praising God. We're going in the river. Some people come in and I go, man, this place is crazy, man. Yeah, we're crazy about Jesus. It's because we understand the depths of Satan's kingdom. And when you understand the depths of Satan's kingdom, you must know how to warfare. Because he will come to steal, kill, and destroy. And one thing he wants to do is put a believer to sleep. And he wants to neutralize them so they're no effect to his kingdom. He doesn't care if you go to Bible studies. He don't care if you keep a pew nice and warm. He doesn't care if you've been in that same seat for 30 years. He doesn't care if you go out and feed the homeless. He doesn't care if whatever you do. But one thing he doesn't want you to do is carry the anointing that exposes his kingdom. Are you listening? Because he knows he can't defeat you. He can't defeat you in the anointing. But he can defeat you in the flesh and in the soul. But he can't defeat you in the spirit. And he knows that. So what he tries to do is cause you to get into the soulish arena or into the flesh. Because he knows he can kick your butt. Are you listening? So again, the people of Judah received. They didn't tolerate the word. They celebrated the word. Jeremiah 15:15. Now Jeremiah was given the word. He says, oh Lord, you know, remember me and visit me. Please, quickly. And take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found and I ate them. Does everybody see that? Your words were what? Found and I ate them. Your word was to me what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. In other words, he celebrated. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now he goes to another arena. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vile, in other words, if you take out the good, the godly, from the evil, You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. And they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. Wow. So you see, God's judgment was coming to a rebellious people. Jeremiah got caught up in the affliction, but received the word with joy and was able to escape. He accepted it. He received it with joy. He believed it, and he was able to escape. And Luke 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke 8 verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, they didn't receive it yet. They heard it, but they really didn't receive it. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root. In other words, they're not grounded. Who believe for a while, and when temptation comes, they what? Fall away. In other words, they are not consistent. You cannot be rooted without consistency. Now, the ones that fell away from among thorns are those who, when they hear and go out and are choked with what? Cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So on these here, they take it, but the world chokes it. But the ones that fell on good ground or good soil are those who, having heard the word with a noble or humble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. In other words, they're willing to be consistent and endure. Be consistent and endure. Has everybody got it? What are they able to do? Be consistent and endure. So in this we see that God is placing his word. Either you're going to receive it with joy, or you're going to tolerate it. You're going to receive it with joy, or you're going to tolerate it. Does everybody understand it? In other words, you're going to either tolerate it or celebrate it. So many people will come and hear a word, and they just sit and tolerate it. They don't celebrate it. They don't take it. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're hearing, well, this word's not for me, then you're tolerating it. Are you listening? Well, this word ain't for me. It's for somebody else here. No, you're tolerating it. This word is for all of us, including myself. Is everybody okay? Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, what's that first word? Today. Today? Today. Today. Does it mean now or last week or tomorrow or now? Now, today, if you will what? Hear his voice. In other words, if you will celebrate it and not just tolerate it. Do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which means the presence of evil. For if we have become what? Partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, if you'll endure when you received, if you'll endure and continue to celebrate, not just tolerate. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt, which means the world, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of what? In other words, they weren't hearing or receiving the word. They were not celebrating what they were hearing right then and then. They were tolerating. Let's go to the next chapter. Therefore, since a promise remains in entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. So there wasn't any faith. There wasn't any action in it, was there? They didn't see it. See, when you receive the word, you're able to see it. Because faith is spiritual sight. If you're blinded to it, that's why when Jesus spoke, he spoke in parables. When Jesus spoke, there was always an arena of vision. It was vision. So God speaks to us. When he speaks to us, there should always be a vision. You should always be able to see what he's saying. And that's called faith. Now you move on that. You don't move what you see in the natural. You move what you see in the spirit. Listen, I was playing football and tore up my leg. And the doctor said, I had to go to the hospital. The doctor said, you're going to have a permanent indentation and you will not be able to do anything for 4 months. Well, 2 days later, I was at the service. And I went out on the crutches to the podium, but I didn't want them hanging out there. And I heard the Lord tell me to walk. And I put my foot down and almost went through the ceiling. And then I saw him. Now, he was in the boat, at the edge of the boat, looking at me. And he was waiting for me. I said, okay, Lord, you commanded Peter to come out of the boat. Command me to walk. And he said, walk. And I put my foot down. I didn't feel any pain. I began to walk. Everybody was praying in the spirit. Man, I started running around the church. God healed me. In 2 days instead of 4 months. Hello. You know why? I saw it. I saw him tell me to command. Command me, Lord. Then I know. Then I'll know. And everybody that was at that service that day saw God heal me. But see, here it is again. I received and celebrated. I received it. I believed it. See, receiving is believing and believing is receiving. And I celebrated it and God healed me. I acted on it and moved on it. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go. Glory. Not hearing and not receiving means it's the heart of the world. See, the heart of the world is hard towards the things of God. If you're tolerating the word, that means that part of your life is worldly. And you're not receiving, you're tolerating. Not receiving or believing is actually disobedience. Because you can't obey what God is saying. It will open the door to rebellion and disobedience. And you will search out to fix it and all the things in your life to try to fix it. And you'll actually fix it in the flesh or try to fix it in the soul. And it will have a form of godliness or a form of repair, but it will be temporary. It can't last. You know, because in this, people become self-promoting, self-proclaiming, self-ordaining, and it brings self-destruction. Hello. It brings what? Self-destruction. And one of the things God is preparing us right now to be accustomed to and to be ready to receive the word now and act on it. Because time is moving faster. And time is short. And we've got to be able to respond, not react according to the flesh, but respond quickly to the things of God. In other words, when he speaks, celebrate it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. celebrate it, and then move on it. Or move when he tells you to move on it. The first thing you got to do is receive it and believe it when he speaks to you now. And don't falter in any way whatsoever. And see, so many individuals and even people that have been established in ministries and so forth, you know, not every ministry is established by God. Now, God might, you know, if anything is not of God's time, it's not God. God's time is God's will in every area. Go to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. It's right after 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. Would you read it with me then? Then Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sheaf of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two sheaves of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria." Now, there was a famine, and God was about to break open an opportunity for people to be able to afford. In verse 2, "So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?'" He was questioning what the word came at that moment. "And he said, 'In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it.'" Why? Because he didn't receive it. Does everybody understand that? So there are many times when God is saying something, but we're not willing to celebrate it. We're willing to tolerate it. And if you're willing to tolerate it, you don't get it. Amen. It's when you celebrate it that you get it. Not if you tolerate it, you celebrate it. And this happened to this man. Are you listening? Why? Because he didn't believe. He questioned God for it. Look at Luke. Let's go to Luke for a minute. Luke 1. Chapter 1 and verse 11. So if you're willing to tolerate it and not celebrate it, is that obedience or disobedience? Disobedience. And that's a form of rebellion, isn't it? And it opens the door to witchcraft. In verse 11, Luke 1. "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, you bonehead.'" You think I'm going to lie to you? "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Oh, glory. Yeah. Pretty interesting, huh? Here comes Gabriel from the fresh presence of the throne room of God. Come on. You're going to question an angel that appears before you? First, you better check if he's the right one. Because the Bible says that the devil comes as an angel of light. But he would not believe what he said. Why? He questioned He questioned. He did not celebrate it. He tolerated it. But God had to fulfill what he said. Because what God speaks does not return void. So what did he do? He shut up Zechariah's mouth. He said, okay, homie. You won't speak until the day you see it happen. And you will never question the Lord your God again. Hello. You know, no, don't get me wrong. There's nothing with asking the Lord, okay, how can I, you know, whatever. You're asking certain things. But to question something that God has spoken to you. I mean, if the Lord comes to you, or an angel comes to you in a dream, or, you know, you want to confirm it, but don't ask, wait a minute. Am I in candid camera? You know, no, that's not what it's about. See, he didn't celebrate it. He tolerated it. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to celebrate it and act on it. You know, how many times have you heard the word? You heard the Spirit speak, whether through a Bible study or through a CD or a tape or whatever. And then you said, well, I'll get this later. Maybe I'll do this later. In other words, when you know something is happening right then and there, and you tolerated it, and you put it on to later. See, God looks at that as being tolerating, not receiving or believing it. Are you listening? Go to Jeremiah 16. So believing is receiving, and receiving is believing. Jeremiah 16. Are y'all okay? Praise God. Are you celebrating? Jeremiah 16 in verse 1. Jeremiah 16 verse 1. And the word of the Lord also came to me, Jeremiah, saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them, and their fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword of famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Nor shall men break bread in the morning for them to comfort them for the dead. Nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. Also you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the what? Bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. And the voice of the bride. Who's the bride? Amen. Us. In other words, the body of Christ and the Lord, the Spirit of God, will be removed from the earth. And all hell will break out. See, he's speaking not only in the present of a disobedience of Israel, in the past, and presence in them, but he's speaking to us in future. And it shall be when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods and have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his what? Own evil heart. So that no one will what? Listen to me. In other words, they tolerated, they didn't celebrate. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into the land that you do not know, neither will you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Favor, why? Because they tolerated instead of celebrated. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly what? Oh, glory. Those who what? Gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and in prayers. Glory. They received the word with what? Gladness. 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 5. Let's read it together. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we are among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with what? Joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you may become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who what? Believe. With afflictions and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 2. In verse 13. Is everybody there? Verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because you what? Received the word of God which you heard from us, and you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who what? Who believe. So you're not looking at it as receiving it from a man. You're looking at it receiving it from the Lord. You're celebrating it, not tolerating it. Acts 17. And I believe we'll close here. In verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by the night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with what? With what? They received the word with what? All readiness. And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women also as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, receiving command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So they received it with what? Readiness. Does everybody got that? With readiness. So, you know, we sing a song that says, ready yourself. And when we're receiving the word, we must receive it. In other words, in the area with belief, we must be ready to act on it in faith. Not tolerate it, but receive it and believe it. I get many people, in other words, there could be the same word given to more than one person. And the one who celebrated it, received it, it comes to pass. The one who tolerated it never comes to pass. And God is speaking in the God of now, so that he can establish us and prosper us. But there's something we've got to do. We've got to be consistent to endure. consistent to endure in every area of our life. This is not about religion. This is not a fairy tale. Things are happening in the world, and don't let the devil put you to sleep. You must stay awake, be sober, and be alert, and be ready to receive and celebrate. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's lift our hands to heaven and give him glory. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We receive it and we celebrate it. We celebrate. We don't tolerate it, Lord. We receive it, we believe it, and we celebrate that you are faithful to complete what you started. Now, Lord, keep us ready in every area of our life that we may be willing to listen and obey and bring you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.